Okay, thank you. So then moving on to this new item, which is the progress from previous meetings.
So just for board members' information, at the moment, because we're still operating under the existing committee rules until the constitutional amendments happen in May, we can't have matters arising at the after the minutes.
Yeah.
So we've compromised. Thank you to Megan for working the compromise out to us, to have this progress from other meetings, which gives us the opportunity to go back and revisit the minutes and carry that forward.
Okay.
I've got some updates, but if you
okay. So do you want
you would probably answer.
Okay.
Mm.
We do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, you do your answer.
Okay. Let's see. 28, the committee requested that we undertake analysis. There's a couple of items to report back. How are we going to be doing that?
Part of the work plan, I think we need to have a look at what we are going to do and how we're going to report back. Because I think there's just too many things in my head. Part of the improvements that we need to, the governance action plan and the feedback that was quite clearly from what Gerard was saying at the board meeting and the things that we've seen in the governance, is this interaction between the committee and the board, and having reports and observation on both from each other,
okay,
if you
course,
see what I mean,
yeah.
Very clearly.
Yeah.
So I think as part of it, the board does look at the employer compliance quite closely, and the various automatic enrolment and various bits and pieces. So I think what we need to do is just work through as we're
okay.
developing ourselves. And I'm sorry, it's not a good answer to your question, Barbara, as to how we do it, but I think we need to work out how we do it and then how we report back. So it could be that it's a report from the chair of the board, which I don't want to put more work on Tracy, and I really don't want to put more work on myself.
There's other people that might, you know, I mean, maybe some of this could be spread out and somebody else could champion a certain...
Yes,
certain
yeah. And I think that's part of what we need to look at as we're looking at how the kind of the training and development, the work plan and the business
yes.
planning and stuff
okay.
like that, as to
yeah.
how we
yeah.
feed
okay.
that through.
So when there's specific sort of actions like this for us, where do they go? Is there like a list of outstanding actions that we have to do? Because they get so buried in minutes
yeah.
and next month you don't necessarily keep going back. Can we have like an action?
Yeah.
Again, I think this is something as we develop the way that the board is going to be operating going forward, part of my aspiration, shall we say, and the discussions I've had with Jeff in the interim period is that we will try and seek a dedicated pension fund support officer that is specific to the board and the committee. So with, you know, and I've spoken to Megan about this, it's nothing to do with Megan at all, but to actually free up that resource to be dedicated to supporting the board and the committee. So recording those
okay.
actions, recording those minutes, doing some work in terms of supporting the agenda development.
And getting the information together if we're supposed to analyse something, getting it together.
Yes,
so that
yeah.
And also supporting in terms of looking at the list of policies that we're supposed to
yeah.
have and bring, making sure that they're in a schedule for review.
Yes.
As effectively like a governance support officer, board secretary
and
type role.
And maintaining the website, making sure documents are on the website.
That sort of
yeah.
thing, that whole big
yeah.
thing. So it's part of my plan. Which I'm trying to sort of put together and formulate to be able to move once we've got the constitutional amendments
yeah.
to be able to enable us to do it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate we're constrained to that. So as long as it happens,
yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
On 30, the possible tracing service for deferred members. Any further thoughts on that?
We still would like to do it.
Yeah.
We have a number of projects that we are working, that the admin team are working on, which we're just trying to work
We've
out.
We've got a huge amount of projects on the go. We do enlist the support of our colleagues in the contact centre to send out letters for us to ask people to contact us if they've got a current address. Obviously, we can't, from a data protection, we can't do that. So we're doing that, but it's laborious. So we have been talking about taking on somebody to actually do that work for us. We do appreciate we do need to be doing it, and it has to be done. So yes,
I think it kicks into one of the conversations that Matthew and I are going to have at some point, which I think we
probably already
have, and we probably have had already, is to look at a lot of things that the admin team are working on,
yeah,
and how we can work together to move those forward. And again, I think it links also into the constitutional review and some of the outcomes potentially from the good governance review in terms of consolidating who does what and who has responsibility for what.
I mean, do you ever, I know like at the college, we'll often go and visit other colleges for best practice to see what others do and if they found a solution to that.
I attend regular quarterly meetings with other Southern Shires, other pension funds, that we talk about this sort of stuff. So, you know, Joe and I have discussed it. It's a matter of it's going through a kind of procedure again. It's like a procurement, and we've got quite a few of those that we're actually looking at the moment. So it's a matter of trying to put into the priorities and the resource that we've got for those priorities, because we are still undertaking quite a few projects where we're still not resourced fully enough to be able to undertake them. So they're not going as quickly as I want them to be moving on. So
it is also in the Governance Action Plan, which is in the appendage to the business plan that we've spoken about.
Yeah.
So it's not something that has fallen off the radar. It's just at the moment it's in the where do we start?
Yeah, pile.
Yeah. I think for us at the moment, we're very deeply focused. I'm talking about Joe about the iConnect project, which is a couple of our staff had moved on, which meant that the iConnect slowed down a bit. But now Leo has taken it on, and I'd like Leo to come in and do a little bit on iConnect to show you where we are, because we're almost at a stage where we're going to get some people actually using it at some very, very, very near future. But there are quite a few projects, Barbara, that we are undertaking. One of those is on that list, but it's just trying to see where the resource is and how I can get that resource to be able to do these, because it's quite a few things that we do need to do.
I think it is
on our radar.
It's on the radar, and I think as part of the review of the business plan and the governance action plan and all of that sort of stuff, which we've got coming up later on the agenda, is to look at some of the prioritisation of the work and where that work sits, and getting agreement sort of from your perspective as to where your priorities are. We've got the committee have identified their priorities in terms of we'll come to that when we look at the board and the committee minutes.
Yeah.
So it's then just a case of then saying, right, well, we've got these X number of things that we need to do that we've identified as being our highest priorities. Let's make sure that they happen.
Yeah.
And at the moment, there are a lot of admin priorities, there are a lot of governance priorities, there's a lot of funding priorities, and they're all kind of running together, and we're running very, very fast, but actually in some instances we're potentially not achieving as much as we could do because we're trying to pull ourselves too thinly. Mm. So it's just trying to work through.
How did the timetable work for changing from a committee of the council to a proper board? Who decides what it will be like when it finally comes to this constitutional review? Is that what we're waiting for?
Well, we've had the conversation with Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff came to the board meeting last time, and he's seen all of the guidance that's out there, the various documentation.
Yep.
And he is moving towards making the board a board and not a committee. But however, because it is a board that is created by the council as administering authority, it needs to be in the council's constitution to say that they have set it up.
Yeah.
And the constitution can't change until the May meeting. So Jeff has created his first draft of the revised council constitution, which at the moment is with the Chief Executive and the Corporate Management Team for their initial review, just to make sure that
So there's a piece of work out there that's going to decide what this board looks like, but the board actually hasn't had any input.
No, the board has had input into it. Because you had Jeff came in last month.
We just haven't seen
if there
are
when people tell you they're going to put something in, and then six weeks later when it's gone all through, you suddenly find that what you said was going to be in it is completely different.
It hasn't been finalised yet at all. I asked exactly this question this morning, Reg, to be fair. The first draft of what Jeff believes the constitution should look like as monitoring officer is currently with the Chief Exec and the Corporate Management Team to make sure that Jeff is heading in the right direction for the broader constitutional review.
Yeah, that's in the constitution it would say something along the lines of the council also has set up a board in line with board administration, everything else.
Yeah.
But the terms of reference of that board and the first meeting, for instance, will it have public question time in it?
No.
Of course it shouldn't.
No.
I'm surprised it's in there now.
It has to, because
it's been set up.
But
when is it going to change?
Well,
the
constitution, the next stages are, the constitution in draft at the moment is with the Chief Exec and the Corporate Management Team to make sure it's heading in the right direction. The articles and things behind that will be drafted and reviewed, and my intention is that somewhere between now and the May Constitutional Council meeting, April, I'm looking at the April board, there should be a draft of the terms of reference for the board that I will bring to the board for the board to look at to ensure that they are comfortable with what is being put in the constitution that goes to full council on the 20th of May.
It's reassuring that there is a timetable, because I was a bit worried.
It's the annual council. Yeah.
It might drift.
No,
it's
the
next thing you know, they'll say, oh, well, there's an election in 2020.
No, the annual council in May 2020 will receive a new council constitution.
Right.
The new council constitution will have something that says the board is not a committee of the council, and in that place it will have some standards or some statement that says it will be run in accordance with the board's terms of reference. The board's terms of reference should have sufficient in it to say this is how it operates, and I expect that the board's terms of reference will be available to the board before they go into the full constitution. So the full constitution, as I say, the council meeting is the 20th of May, at which it's the council's annual meeting, so the constitutional changes will be approved and all the chairman of committees, etc., 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 will be approved. That new constitution, from the day it is adopted then, will run. So the board meeting after the 20th of May will be constituted as a board.
Yeah, that's what we spoke about.
My only possible concern is if our terms of reference are actually in the constitution, then we're again tied up with the timetable of amending the constitution.
You can make amendments to the terms of reference that are in between full constitutional reviews, because you can amend an article,
but
you can't amend the constitutional. And at the moment, the constitutional bit says the board is set up and will operate as a committee.
I mean, the terms of reference of the youth committee is in the constitution, but it's in the appendix, and it clearly says this is not a committee of the council, but these are the terms and conditions that the terms of reference.
But the youth council isn't set up under statute.
Yeah.
The board The board
like
is
that,
set up under statute, so under statute it has to be referred to in the council's constitution, not as an appendix to the constitution.
And any changes to them terms of reference for the board must come from the board.
Yes,
it'd
absolutely.
Have to go to the full council to be altered.
Yes.
But the full council couldn't alter the terms of reference of the board.
The full council, it is for the administering authority to determine the terms of reference of the board.
Yeah.
But my expectation, again, from that would be the board know what the board's terms of reference need to be.
Yeah.
So the board should have the greatest input into any amendment to those terms of reference. The key point at the moment is that the board has been constituted as though it were a committee because that was the way it was set up. And this really is the first opportunity that we've got to amend that. It is very much in process. Jeff is, as I've said, the draft of the overall constitution changes, which have far more far-reaching implications than just the pension board. But and that's with the chief exec to ensure that the direction is right, and then the detail behind that will come out and we will bring it to the board.
Are we all happy?
I can't do any more than that, I'm afraid.
It's still in progress, isn't it?
So. On 32, and that probably fits into the you know, the plan, the action, what we're doing, but is there anything in the near future set up for a briefing session on the governance framework and this area is needed to be considered? Is that I didn't see anything in the work plan. Is that something that we've dropped into?
I think the good governance project and the various bits and pieces, if that's what we're talking about.
Is that covered by the
I think it's in the governance action plan and in lots of the other documents.
Yeah.
I think in the business plan I think we need to look at that. It's one of those things that there is a timetable for the good governance phase 3, which is to go to the scheme advisory board in April 2020. So the phase 3 report, which we've just had phase 2 and we had the webinar and the various round tables, will be going to April, which will be some information on the KPIs, which is one of the things that we'll talk about later, and information on the independent governance review. And also some recommendations in terms of what the draft regulations may look like.
Okay.
And then following the April 2020 Scheme Advisory Board meeting, information will go to the MHCOG, and then MHCOG will consult on draft regulations.
Okay.
So in terms of what we can do, a lot of my colleagues in Access are doing a self-assessment against the annual governance against the phase 2 report, but again I think in terms of our governance action plan, where we've done it before, I have cross-referenced a lot of the actions to that good governance report. So I don't think we need to do a specific action point against each recommendation. But I think we just need to keep an eye on what's coming out of the good governance review and any changes in regulations to ensure that what we're doing fulfills those regulations. And in terms of KPIs, as I've said, we've got a lot of things that we need to talk about. One of those is KPIs. And then the plans for independent governance reviews and things like that will follow.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that I'm just ticking off the things that I wanted to say and make sure that I've got incredible.
33, the valuation update. I know Hyman's, published a report, the update on the valuation, but we haven't really had any much knowledge of what's going on the valuation. Is there ever any challenge to what Hyman's come up with? Because these some of the forums I've gone to, they said you should be challenging your actuary on things, because things like the population, aging population, and they put it up all the time, but there's actually evidence that it's stagnated, and things like that where they're, if you like, being safe, being extremely safe? And is there any more scrutiny of their assumptions?
Yeah, absolutely. There is. I mean, the processes that the actuaries come up with their assumptions.
Yeah.
They are discussed in detail with officers. And at the presentation that Craig did to the committee in, no, Peter did to the committee in November,
yeah.
Trying to remember who did what.
Yeah.
When Craig came and did a training session before that in September, I think,
he did. Yeah.
That where he outlined what the assumptions were and how
yeah.
the assumptions were set. Peter then came and briefed the committee in November as to how those what the assumptions were and the process that we'd gone through. There is the funding strategy statement, which is appended into this report, which was circulated
yeah.
around for communication for consultation, and that sets out a lot of the assumptions and the way that things are done and how that's done. And this is open to consultation,
yeah.
so that's basically for people to ask questions and challenge and respond to. I will say I've had nothing from anybody,
no.
and I'm waiting for the for Friday so that I can say. It's approved. Or, as it's on the agenda this afternoon, to get your
yeah.
comments. And then there will be a report that goes to, there's a kind of interim report that's going to committee on the 14th of February that says, this is where we are, these are the results of the consultation, these are the questions that were asked, this is how we're going to deal with it.
Mm.
And then the valuation will be finalised, hopefully full results, and everything will be presented to the 13th of March full committee.
Yeah.
And the employers
well as
will be finalised.
I was gonna say, as an employer, I think, and I know you're in on the conversation, we had a really good conversation with Craig and he actually went through all the results
okay.
and the assumptions. So I think each employer can engage, can't
yeah.
they?
Each employer has
find
a,
out.
Been
yeah.
given equal opportunity
yeah.
to engage. There have been a number of employers who have engaged. There have been spectacularly a number of employers who have not engaged and who, despite three or four emails, are still not engaging. So it's, you know, there are challenges, there are questions, there are detailed processes that have been followed. And one of the points I've got on for a future agenda item for the board is to do kind of a wash up of the process.
Yeah, that would be good.
To sort of
all, wouldn't all the actuaries be working up the same assumptions?
No.
So if, say, I'm as valued as, I'm at the ageing population and all the rest of it,
mm-hmm.
and then another actuary done it, and his ageing population was younger
yeah.
or older.
Yeah.
You'd have a difficult night.
Which
is
then,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Which is exactly why there is now the Government Actuaries Department do this, what's called a Section 13 review, which basically takes a set of standard
yeah.
assumptions and compares each of the funds as though they'd been valued on this standard set of assumptions. And it then compares what your actuarially assessed, independent actuary assessment is compared to what you are on the standard set of assumptions. And the results are then put into kind of like a league table that says where you are compared to everybody on these standard sets and where you started off from your valuation. And what they found is the key direction of travel obviously is that you're either at or above where your fund actuary assesses you when you go into the actuarial, the standard thing. And what we found is last valuation, 2016, we were 92% funded, I think, under the standard assumptions. And under the GAD assumptions, we were something like 105. So actually, we're in
yeah.
a very good position.
Yeah.
And a lot of the Hymans, we come in slightly undervalued by Hymans, but that gives us confidence.
Yeah.
We're not significantly undervalued, and our movement wasn't huge compared to some. Some of the funds that use other actuaries were going quite a way down, so their actuaries weren't being as cautious as potentially they could have been. There will be a Section 13 review that's done after the 2019 valuation. And the 2016 one didn't come out until about 2018, but I'm hoping that it will, maybe even 2019.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the 2019 one will come out more quickly, and we'll be able to see where we sit on a standardised set of assumptions compared to where we are with the actuaries. But as I say, the movement is was a positive movement, that actually we're being slightly more cautious than we could. But what we've applied with most of the employers is a stabilisation method to say, actually, we're comfortable with the way things are going, and we're comfortable with maintaining your contribution rates. We're not trying to force employers out. We're not trying to make it difficult. And we're not trying to put too much pressure on investment returns to do that. So we have been through quite a big exercise. But we will put, Megan, could you make a note for me to put the Section 13 report on to a future agenda when it comes through?
Okay. Yeah, I think it would be good to have a, let's say, wash up room so that we can, because I don't feel myself, I mean, Tracy, you're probably more into it because you approach it from the coal face too.
Yes.
But
I don't
know about Roger or Trevor. I don't feel that I'm I understand it, but I don't feel I'm close enough to it to make much comment on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
yeah.
I was lucky because I had that conversation,
yeah.
but certainly it would be good for all of us, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously you are, as always, invited to the pension fund committee meetings and to the briefing sessions that we do. So, absolutely. But we'll do some kind of wash up.
The stock market's relatively strong at the moment. I just wondered, how would those figures, was it 95% look, say, if we have a significant downturn in
the
stock
market? This is the next stage of the valuation that we're undertaking, which is part of the valuation is they assess what our investment returns are likely to be. Over the last 3 years, I think our investment, from 2016 to 2019, I think we had about a 30% return on our investments, which is absolutely stunning and will not be repeated. So they are looking at a various different scenario. So they're doing 5,000 models of where the investment strategies are likely to go and what the markets are likely to do. And we're doing that as well on our funding side, as well as on our investment side. And the next, at the 14th of February committee meeting, we will have the results of the high level investment strategy modelling that says what our split of assets need to be and what our likely results are. But what we've built the valuation contribution rates on is a reasonably steady state. Not stonking outperformance, but not massive underperformance. So a reasonable amount of sensible returns to an extent, which should give us a good return. And hopefully, you know, our assets outperformed. Some of our assumptions that we made last time weren't quite as pessimistic as we've made.
No.
So our funding level's gone up from 92 to 95 this time. Which is, you know, which is positive all round, but we can't sit back on our laurels and go, oh, look, we're marvellous, let's stop worrying about things. So, so we're not building massive amounts of outperformance in. There is an expectation of outperformance, but we're also reviewing whether our strategy is still fit for purpose and whether there's things that we need to change.
There you go. This has been from experience quite a few years ago. I used to have stocks and shares like ISA. And it's doing very well, and suddenly the stock market crashed, and I lost all my gains virtually a month.
Which is also why we have a balanced portfolio of
stocks
and shares, and we put some
into
bonds,
and
sometimes we put it into property and things like that. So we've got a balanced portfolio to offset that risk. And that's part of the review that we're doing. So if you've got the opportunity to come to the 14th of February committee meeting. You'll hear a lot of information about that, and then the training session after the 14th of February committee meeting is on the different asset classes, so you'll be able to understand what each of the classes do, which Vanessa is always on about and she doesn't understand, so hopefully she'll come to the committee meeting and we can get that balance.
How romantic.
But it could have been worse. It could have been the following day, which is my birthday, so
that's what puts me off going.
What? I'll bring you flowers. Right. Okay. Next question, Barbara.
So, any other points on the previous actions, or are we all right to move on now? Yeah.
The only thing I would say, just very quickly, from my perspective, the local pension board's annual report was published on the pension fund website.
Okay.
So it's now up and ready.
Did it have loads of likes?
I don't know. I've not tracked how many people have looked at it, to be honest. Something that will come up later around the fact that the board didn't have their informal meeting about breaches and complaints policies. So
no.
I can't update on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
okay, so then we move on to